Sister Maria de Guadalupe belongs to the religious family of the Incarnate Word, which was founded by Father Carlos Miguel Buela in Argentina in 1988. Sister Guadalupe, who is from Argentina, has been a missionary in several countries of the Middle East for over 18 years. 4 of these years has been in Syria. A few months after her arrival in Syria in 2011, the war began, something Sister Guadalupe said no one expected. Sister Guadalupe was recently invited to share her testimony at a special event at the United Nations headquarters in New York on April the 28th, organized by Archbishop Bernardito Auza, Apostolic Nuncio and Permanent Observer of the Holy See to the United Nations. The event, co-sponsored by Mars Libres, Citizens Go, and In Defense of Christians, had as its theme defending religious freedom and other human rights, stopping mass atrocities against Christians and other believers. Speaking in Spanish with simultaneous translation in English, Sister Guadalupe, with the help of a slideshow with powerful graphic images, commended the faith and resilience of the persecuted Christian community of Syria under the ISIS terrorist group. In our edition of The Backgrounder today, we bring you excerpts from the testimony of Sister Maria de Guadalupe at the UN event.
The armed groups started to seize the people and the cities, and they arrived to Aleppo City, the second city of the country. We could say that is the most important city, even over the capital, because it is the economic center of the country. So that's how the millionaire in Aleppo, that was famous in the Middle East, because it was known to be like the European city, from one day to the other, it was so converted in ruins. The terrorist groups seized the city and then blocked the city completely. Aleppo was seized for over a year, completely. This means that we ran out of resources, we ran out of fuel, and we couldn't see cars on the streets. We ran out of gas. And these people that had everything, and they could live very well, they could just go out of the street, and they started to take tree branches to be able to cook. We had electricity outages and water cuts. Since then, we have 1 hour of electricity a day, or 2 hours. The water comes 2 hours every 10 days, or maybe 15. This year meant the interruption of the entrance of canned food that comes from the big cities and rural areas. Everything, we ran out of everything. We started to survive as we could, millions of people, rice, pasta, and canned food. The people started to say, they are allowing us to die of hunger and thirst, and the world doesn't know it. So these groups, terrorists, that surrounded the city, they started to attack the city. There is no place, not one neighborhood of the city of Aleppo that can be considered safe. They shoot most of all Christian neighborhoods and churches. They are the first target. I remember that the first weeks, the first 2 weeks, when this started, we were closed. There were explosions and bombings, and we heard bullets permanently. We couldn't sleep. But these weeks were converted in months, and the months converted in years. And then we learned to live with the war. We got used to go out in the middle of the bombs and bullets, and we got used to sleep under bombings. We have to go around the city very carefully because the attacks are permanent in any place. You have to walk very fast and very paying a lot of attention to the noises. Because of the experience now, we can have a distinction of what kind of attacks. We have to take care of ourselves from the shooters, so you have to run. This is daily life. Let's think of the kids. To play, they gathered bullets and they interchange bullets. Because that's what they can find in the streets. At any place, it's not rare to walk and find a bullet falling next to you. The Christian neighborhoods are those who suffer the most. Besides this, the churches are full. one of our young people says in the parish, "All right, let them come in. Let them take the city. Let them behead me. I am a Christian. I am not going to stop being a Christian." Those are our persecuted Christians. They want to give their lives. Look at this woman. In a city that was taken by ISIS, this is Christian and was tied on a pillar so everybody can come and beat her, asking her to convert to Islam, and she said no. And this is very soft. Christians beheaded every single day. Christians crucified. Women raped. Kids put in under the ground alive in front of their mothers. We are missionaries, and we have the opportunity, the possibility to live with the martyrs of our time. This is a privilege. Look at them. Those are the persecuted Christians. Look at those faces. Imagine the suffering that they are bearing right now, and see their smiles on their faces. When you ask them, "How can you smile in that way?" they say this. "Before, we were very entertained with the worldly things that we forgot of the important things. Now, the experience of death have made us understand the sense of life, that life is short, really short, and today can be my last day. And this is why I have to live it to the most and to look forward the things that come after death, because what they want is the eternal life." Look at this woman. Her name is Amal. In Arabic, it means hope. This woman had 4 children. She lost one of the children tragically. The guy had a surgery, very simple surgery, in a Christian neighborhood, and he was waiting with his mother, Amal, to be discharged from the hospital. A bomb came to the hospital. The building shaked, and he asked his mother to go and help them because they were really close to this, to their house. When Amal came out of the hospital, a bomb fell over the hospital, and then she came back to look for her son, and her son was dead because of the explosion. Amal cried her son. His name was Noam. But she told me, "My son was already prepared to be in heaven. I saw him being prepared to be in heaven." And she told me that when she was fearing that some bombing will come to her house in a Christian neighborhood, this son that is dead now, Noam, told her, quoting the gospel, "Mom, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul." This is what persecuted Christians live daily. They say, "Don't worry, kill me. They can take away the heaven from me. You can take my head. You can burn my churches. You can displace me from this country that saw me born, but my soul belongs to God. And when I die, I won't die." At the end of last year, when the Paris bombings, our Christians in Aleppo, Baghdad, where we have also a mission there, they were praying for the victims in France. They find from our side the same solidarity is what they live in Syria 5 years ago and in Iraq 12 years ago. How can we help then? We have to pray, first of all. They need our prayers. Secondly, we need to tell the world what is happening. It's a shame that all of this, it's unknown. In third place, we need to help. And not only materially speaking, but with our commitment, serious commitment, of doing everything we can, everything that's in our hands, to stop this atrocity. It is not enough helping the refugees. It is very good. We have to do it, but we have to know that helping the refugees, it's only a band-aid. We are not solving the problem. And while the faucet is still open, we're going to have a lot of refugees still. A teenager from Syria, he said, "We don't want to go to Europe. We were very well in Syria. Please stop the war."
That was Sister Maria de Guadalupe of the Religious Family of the Incarnate Word talking about the persecuted Christians of Syria at a Holy See-sponsored event at the UN in New York on April the 28th. This has been The Backgrounder, a weekly feature of Vatican Radio's English Service for Asia.